7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 62 of Color of Magic, your magic and gaming podcast, where we talk about all types of more serious issues around gaming, but still like to have fun. I am your host, Daquan Watson. And for 62 episodes, still have the same guy riding shotgun, Brian Allen. How are you doing, dude?
Doing pretty good. We're making it. We're pushing along.
That doesn't sound like you're making it too much. I'm at least glad you still have time to come hang out with us and record the podcast this week.
I appreciate it. It is a much, much needed distraction from...
That is a real thing to talk about. I think sometimes when you're making content, as much as it is work, sometimes it is a creative release and outlet to have a way to focus yourself, which I don't think people really talk about. Well, one thing I want to tell everybody about is if you haven't yet, hop over to Patreon at Patreon.com. Yep, Patreon.com/Color of Magic. And come support us. Low level, just $2. Get a postcard in the mail from us, handwritten, and, you know, help us out. Help us keep the lights on and support the show. And we do have a sponsor of the show that does pitch in to help us out a little bit. It is cardsphere.com, a place where you can go and take your cards, put them up there, sell some things at the price you want. Or if you just want to be a buyer, you can find cards at the price you want, which is also very cool. And you can do it all through your PayPal account, so you don't need to do any funny money, no weird credits. Like, it's just exactly what you think it is. You see a dollar value, that's what you get. And the transactions usually take about a week total. So it's not a bad deal. It's really good, especially right now. You still have time if you need to sell some stuff off before Christmas. Get a little cash in your pocket. Maybe go make those purchases right before Christmas Eve. Now's the time to check out cardsphere.com. So... couple of things, but we're going to start out here trying to settle these crowds down as we get into the soapbox here. And this one isn't even particularly just gaming related. This is like, okay, how many times have you seen somebody on social media? Or hell, not even social media. Well, right now in social media, I was going to say in your social groups, but we probably haven't seen a lot of our friends in person lately. Unless it's on like a Zoom call. But so often I see people griping about, oh, this has been my favorite TV show or favorite movie. And somebody says like, yeah, it's not usually my type of style because I'm not into that genre or whatever. And immediately is like, how did you not think this was the greatest movie ever? Or how did you not think this was the best TV series of all time? Or the opposite, right? Where somebody says, oh, I really like a thing. Like, how, you must be a terrible person. Who likes this thing or whatever? It's like, whoa, what? Like, unless the thing is obviously something promoting, I don't know, something terribly awful or violent or whatever, vile, who cares? Like, I haven't seen most of the TV shows that people have loved, but I'm not going to go on social media and tell people they're crazy because they wasted a bunch of time watching the show or whatever. That just, it just feels so immature. Like, people can like things that are different than you. Hell, there's people that are going to not enjoy our podcast because it's not strategic enough or whatever in the world of magic. That's fine. It's not for them. Same way that I'm not going to like some people's YouTube channels or, you know, the TV shows I enjoy, other people may not enjoy or whatever, or certain animes some people like or don't like. Like, there's a reason. It's all out there for multiple people to enjoy. It is okay. We don't have to fight over every single thing. I think the phrase is, we don't have to go around trying to yuck somebody else's yum. Like, it's okay. We can have different preferences. I just had to get that out of my system. Been seeing a lot. And maybe it's just people getting pent up. We've been doing this whole isolation COVID thing for, what, 10 months now? Yeah. Maybe it's starting to wear on people. You know, maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But I feel like we're starting to see it a little bit more. Next time you have that feeling where you're going to post, just take a step back for a second. It is okay for people to like different things. It is totally fine. We're still going to be good. Doesn't make the other person an awful human. Like, it is totally okay. Especially when we're talking about just random movies and TV shows. All right. With that out the way, what did you learn last week, Brian?
Well, you know, I've had a chance to cover a few draft stories. You know, they all talk about how this draft is going to just completely change somebody's life or whatever. And heard a pretty funny one. Apparently, Nikola Jokic from the Denver Nuggets was sleeping while he was drafted. So much so that when his brother called him to congratulate him, he actually, you know, shushed him and hung up the phone on him. So I guess everybody's kind of got their own reaction to becoming a multimillionaire.
That's actually pretty amusing.
We always in sports journalism hype this up as, you know, the biggest day of a young man's life, which I guess it probably is. It's a day you, in most cases, or I would say most, but in a lot of cases, you know, especially people on TV, it's the day you become a multimillionaire. And he was just having a nap.
But like at the same time, I totally get the idea of just like, I'm still living my life. You know what I mean? Like I have stuff I got to do tomorrow. So yeah, I get drafted. Great. I go sign some paperwork in the morning and then show up to training camp in a couple months. Right. Like, it's kind of interesting though. Like I appreciate, that's one of the things I have liked about watching draft coverage for like the NBA, NFL, whatever. And it's a totally different experience right now during COVID.
Yeah.
Because when in normal times, like people have all their family and you've got everybody sitting around the couch and you've sent in these camera crews and everybody's waiting for phone calls and all that. Right. But now it's kind of like, you know, you're sitting on your couch with maybe a girlfriend or you're like mom and cousin or something.
Yep.
And you've got a webcam and you're just kind of chilling.
Your Cowboys had one of the greatest draft picks ever where, you know, the guy is talking on his phone. His girlfriend is desperately trying to get the phone from him because I guess she just doesn't trust it.
Oh, no. Like, you didn't say – I told people when I watched that, I was like, man pardon the phrase, but it's straight – like, that's his hoe phone. Like, you know it is. Like, I'm just being real. Like, because he was just playing – and not only that, if you look at that footage – he looks at his phone, like, and he sits it down while he gets his other phone, and the girlfriend or whoever she was goes to grab it, and he's holding on to it, and even mom kind of gives her the look, like, you don't want to mess with that phone. I'm just saying, like, you could see it where she was just like, you don't want to blow your $1 million ride right now, right? But yeah, like, it's interesting because even seeing the, like, ownership, and we're like Jerry Jones, he did this from like his yacht, and he had, I don't know, like waiters coming and serving him food, and so it was like such a weird experience, man.
That's the most Jerry Jones way to draft ever.
Yeah, he's just like balling for the sake of, like, you talk about just bragging, like the dude was just showing out while he's drafted. And then the NFL commissioner, he was just like in his basement man cave or whatever. You know, so it's like, it's such a weird world to see how everybody's living during COVID. But that Jokic story is pretty funny, though. I like that. As for me, one of the things, and I kind of knew this, but it's reared its head a little bit here on social media lately, on streams particularly, is that there's a lot of people that still just can't be bothered to make the minimal amount of effort for anything. And for me personally, as an example, on a lot of my streams, I give away codes. I just tell people, hey, if you're hanging out, being friendly, saying hi, whatever, into the stream, we'll give you a code. And I usually do this thing that right before I start giving the codes out, I'm like, hey, if you've been lurking and just hanging out, this is your chance to say hi, come hang out, say something, you know, ask how my mom and them, you know, whatever. And a lot of people won't. And I'm like, all right. And then the minute I start giving out codes, you'll see it because I have it set to follower only chat. And all of a sudden, you'll see those follows coming in so people can get into the chat. And it's like, sorry, I'll just give you minimal code. Maybe you get a community code, but I'm not giving you one of the ones for like booster packs or pre-release packs or any of that stuff because you weren't being active. And then some people are like, oh, man, well, I just got here. Like, sorry, you missed out, right? And plus, you didn't just get here when you see everybody literally just starting to hit the follow button all of a sudden, right? When they know codes are going out. And my thing is, I'm trying to build a community, right? I want a bunch of people that are helping each other out, participating, having fun. Like, that's, and obviously, not everybody who watches Twitch interacts with Twitch that way. And I totally get it. But when I'm telling you, like, hey, you probably want to do this bare minimum thing so I can reward you, and you don't even say hi. But magically, when you saw something extra being given away, you're like, oh, well, now I can go do that thing. Well, it's too late now. Like, my biggest thing is, if you're coming and people are providing something for you, and that's kind of the case with content creation, right? We're providing, whether that's entertainment, knowledge, information, assistance, you know, whatever it is, like, you're getting something out of that content. And if all somebody's asking if you do is just one comment, even if it was just like, hey, or what's up, or whatever, anything, that's it, you'd have qualified. Like, those things help, because when you look at the stats and say, like, oh, well, I have this many people that at least comment or participate in my chat, so I know they're actually active. You know, I have this many people that decided to follow today or whatever. Like, those are things that help those creators. So that's the least you can get back. We're not even asking to give any extra time because you're already there. Not asking for any extra money, you know, because you may just be broke or whatever. Some people have lost their jobs. COVID's hard on people, whatever. Just literally, you couldn't even post a comment. And that's the thing. Like, and I'm seeing that with a lot of stuff where people, you know, I've seen people talking about it with their friends where they just needed like the minimal thing or needed you to respond to a thing. Or click a yes or no button, and people won't even do that for somebody. So it's just sad. You know, when you have a lot of people already going through stuff and a lot of people already struggling, if we can do the minimal effort that literally requires no extra time or anything, we should really consider doing that. Now, let's talk about some magic stuff, because we had a couple bits of interesting magic news this past week. The biggest being Metal, because, you know, that's what we keep hearing about with Kaldheim.
Which is perhaps the least metal intro ever.
I'm just saying, tell me I'm wrong. That's all we've heard, right?
Yeah, that is a lot of what we've been hearing, is it? Can you do it again? We need to make a clip of that or something. Can we put it on the soundboard?
I will say this, like, it's a sad thing I did not get a preview for this set, because I had a whole shtick already planned out. Like, I will say this too, if anybody's listening to this and you have not done your preview video yet and you want some very fun assistance, hit me up on Twitter or my Discord or whatever, because I have an idea and it would be a lot of fun. That's all I'm saying. Like, I was already ready to go. But that aside, they have decided to start shoving this whole metal theme for Kaldheim. And it's fine. You know, I think it's neat. People are responding to it. So, I mean, I have no issues with it. I'm kind of 50-50, but I'm always bigger on, like, what does the actual content look like? That's kind of where I'm at. But, you know, they're going in, doing this whole, like, faux censorship on the cuss words thing. You know, you're seeing that a lot in the text. You're seeing a lot of promotion of just, like, the black metal font and stuff being on some things. And they decided to get, I think it was 6 or 7 different, maybe it was 6. I want to say I saw that number somewhere. But anyway, some number of metal bands to do previews of Magic cards. Which part of me is like, it's really neat if any of those people in those bands actually play Magic. I think that's pretty cool for them. Little odd if it's not, but I get it. It's business. It's PR. You do what you got to do. But how many people decide to pick up Magic or get reminded about Magic that may have fallen out because some of these bands are actually doing the previews? I think that's kind of a neat idea.
Yeah, that's anytime you can get, you know, I guess cross culture, I guess, for lack of a better term, cross culture promotion, get celebrities, you know, talking up your game, maybe playing your game. Get somebody to say, hey, what's that thing my favorite rock star is playing around with?
Yeah, and I may have mentioned this on the stream before, but I had a situation, I guess this would have been back around June or July, where a guy had responded to one of my things, or no, he left a post about it on his Twitter, saying like, oh, hey, I got this, oh, I finally made either like Diamond or Mythic playing this deck list from Power Dragon, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, that's cool, dude. Glad one of my videos was able to help you out or whatever, right? And then people on my timeline were like, oh, snap, this dude plays Magic. Dude, this awesome. This guy, like, responded to you or whatever, and he watches your stuff. And I'm like, okay. Turns out he was, like, I guess an important member of a rock band that I was not familiar with. I still don't remember the name of the band. I feel so bad about that right now. But, I just interact with people as people, right? The fact that you're famous doesn't really matter to me, right? Like, and, you know, humble brag here, but because of some of the opportunities I've had in life, I've gotten to meet some famous people and hang out with a couple famous people. So it just doesn't process for me. You know, it's just like they're still people. They have more money than me, obviously, and get treated nicer, but they're still people. But even in that little interaction, I got to see how important something like that was to a lot of people on my timeline, right? That actually mattered to folks. So doing a full promotion where you're getting multiple bands to do these previews and be on this playlist they put out and all this other stuff, like, that's definitely going to have an impact. I mean, if somebody just saying they used one of my deck lists to rank up in ladder got people talking, like, there's definitely, if you have them doing previews and people linking back to their stuff and them talking about it, like, that's definitely going to have a big impact. So the only downside I would say is I don't know how much that costs. Would we rather that money gone into other things? Is it better long-term value to get all those new faces into Magic? Like, there's definitely some conversation to be had there, but I think it's going to be good overall, honestly, for bringing new faces in. What has stood out about you, or stood out about the set so far for you, Brian, as far as Kaldheim's concerned, at least from what we know of what we've seen so far?
I mean, as you mentioned, seems like we're going to be hardcore kind, or that's what we think. We don't know. We've only seen a couple of things. That could be just what the marketing says, and it could be something totally different. Then I guess kind of the theme of, defying your destiny, so to speak, which I think it's always one of my favorite things, the idea of fate versus, or I guess, destiny versus, how much control you supposedly have over your own timeline or whatever. Are we in the Matrix, or, is there a spoon? I don't know.
Yeah, that's funny, because I'm one of those people that a lot of people ask me about, like, fate, coincidence, chance, whatever. And I actually don't believe in that. Mostly because I feel like if I did, it just means my effort to create those other opportunities doesn't have any value. So it's kind of a weird thing. But I know some people really believe in it. I know a lot of friends that, they'll read the horoscopes every day and all that. So, hey, to each their own.
Yeah.
Another thing we have to talk about is it sounds like there might be up to 5 Planeswalkers in this set. Which normally we get 3 in an individual set that's not a core set. But I think there's going to be at least 4 that we know for sure, because we know that 2 old Planeswalkers in Kaya and Tybalt are supposed to be coming back, which we just got the Kaya card previewed earlier today, just before we started recording. But there are going to be 2 new Planeswalkers, and there's actually something that you wanted to point out, Brian, about one of those Planeswalkers we just got to meet for the first time.
Yeah, apparently we have a non-binary Planeswalker in Nico Eris. I believe they're the first one.
Yeah, I think so, as far as Planeswalkers go. I think we've had some...
We've got some non-binary characters, but I think this is the first Planeswalkers. And that's, and again, ties into the theme of, defying their destiny, because apparently Clothos wanted them to do things a certain way because it was their quote unquote destiny, and they are totally opposed to that. So I think this is going to be fun.
Well, remember how we talked about last week where they put out that notice saying, hey, we want to write the stories we want and blah, blah, blah. Is this kind of like the beginning of that?
I think so. Because this is going to trigger some. It already has. If you've seen Twitter, it has triggered some of the less progressive elements of our magic community.
So that makes me wonder, like, you know, are they serious about this, right? Because if this is going to be a character going forward, there will probably be some things that may not be viewed as positively in some of those other countries or other communities. Maybe they are committing to this right off the bat. You know, we're not even having to wait. Kind of surprising, but hey, if this is where we're headed, I'm here for it. I'm good with it.
And also, Nico's kind of different in terms of apparently they throw, I guess, kind of like shards of magic, which is not what you'd expect from, because they're apparently a blue-white planeswalker. So that's, you know, blue usually is more of like, hey, we're going to think really hard. We're going to draw lots of cards, do lots of research. This is definitely a different theme for blue.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know any other blue planeswalkers, you know, that hurl magic javelins at people. So I'm excited about that.
Another thing I want to point out about this set, as far as the cards that we've had previewed, like I said, we did see Kaya earlier today. We'll probably wait on some specifics, and we'll cover this probably in next week's episode when there's more cards out.
I do love Kaya's look, I want to say. As a couple people mentioned on Twitter, it feels almost like an 80s Storm kind of vibe from the X-Men.
Yeah, and that makes me wonder if that was kind of part of the whole motif when you're talking about the whole metal theme and everything else. Did they tell the artists, like, hey, here is the overall look and feel, and we're going to have a soundtrack, and, you know, we're going to be pushing a heavy metal thing and all this, and designing the look of everything along with that? It'd be interesting to see what the artistic briefs were that went with it. But we did get the last four pathways, which we were told were coming. We knew those were come. We got that from Mark Rosewater previously. So now you'll have pathways for blue-white, black-red, green-black, and blue-green that didn't exist before. So that's going to make deck building all kinds of crazy and easy, because you're going to have all the multi-lands you're going to ever need. A couple other cards were pretty interesting and powerful, so that'd be a good discussion down the road. But I will say, so far, granted, we're only talking about, what, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 cards? Can't say we've seen anything that's too scary. There's some very powerful stuff, even in just those cards, but definitely going to change the way we play some Magic for Standard, for sure, and probably even for Historic. So there's going to be a lot to talk about on that front. But we did have some other Magic stuff happen last week with the Arena Open. For those of you who don't know, that's an event where you can play either best of one or best of three on day one. And each of them has different win requirements, but if you meet the requirement, you get to play in day two. And then if you go 7 wins before you get your second loss, I believe you can be up to 7-1. You get $2,000. If you only get to 6 wins, you get $1,000. And then everybody else gets some level of gems for their arena account. So it's pretty cool, pretty fun event. I did not play in the previous one, maybe not even the previous two. I don't remember if I skipped two or not. I definitely skipped one of them. But I did take a shot at it last week, and I only fired one bullet, and I finished 6-3. I got my third loss in the last round. So that was a little disappointing. I had a couple wins to give and couldn't close the deal. But I wasn't that upset about it. I'm still on the fence about Historic. And we may or may not talk about this in a future episode, because I have a big thread running on Twitter right now about Historic. And it's a positive thread. I mean, nothing negative, but just kind of trying to encapsulate my feelings around Historic, because I feel like I almost have it's kind of weird to describe it. I don't think it's about playing the format or understanding the format. But for some reason, I feel like there is a mental block there keeping me from just, like, really enjoying the format. And I don't know what that is yet. So I'm having fun exploring that. But the event itself looks like people enjoyed it. A lot of good content came out of that for several creators. What's that?
So what did you end up running?
I ended up playing it's mostly mono white, splashing collected company life gain deck.
Okay.
I believe it was originated by Crokies, was the first person who posted it about a week beforehand. And I put a video up on my YouTube channel if people want to watch me do the run through of the whole event. So it was pretty fun. Like I said, the deck was good. I don't really have any major complaints as far as that. The weird thing to me is it didn't feel like I had a lot of interactive decisions. I felt like every game there was maybe like one decision that really mattered and the rest could kind of go either way. And then the result was just what it was. So it could be a matter of the deck I played or the decks I got paired up against or whatever. But the thing that always amuses me when these historic events happen, or these arena opens actually happen, there's always people saying like, we should have one of these every weekend. I was like, no, we shouldn't. Like, they wouldn't be unique. They wouldn't be fun. People would go broke.
They would cut the prize money too. I don't think they're giving away, you know, however many $1,000s it is every week.
Yeah, for sure. Plus, it'd have diminishing returns. Like, people just wouldn't be able to buy entries and stuff at $20 a pop. Even if it was only one time, people would just quit doing it after a while if it was every weekend. You know, yeah. So I think that adds a different bit of logistics to it from the financial side. But, you know, once a month, maybe. Once every 6 weeks or so, for sure. And at least once every 8 weeks, definitely. Yeah, I don't think we should go more than 2 months without one. And like I said, even every 6 weeks would probably still be fine for an arena open. And I think people would still respond to that pretty positively. But it does bring up the topic that we can talk about probably at some other point, that should we have at least just some competitive event, whether that's a cash tournament, some type of special leagues, like something that do happen maybe every week or every other week on arena for people that need to scratch that itch. You know, if you want to move people over from Magic Online, let's have a tournament where there's a cash prize, you know, that people can play for weekly. I think that does have some. Obviously, you don't schedule them on the days you maybe have like a big set championship or whatever that you're going to host and want people to watch the coverage. But yeah, maybe it's something I think it's worth talking about.
There's a lot of people running events, so there probably is something going on almost every week. It seems like there is. They're not all run by Wizards, obviously, but I think with everybody that's out there running things, there's some kind of big tournament all on an almost weekly basis. I could be wrong.
Yeah, especially right now, because you at least have like the Star City Open Series that they're running right now. So you can at least play the qualifiers to get you into the final event. And that's a thing. Granted, only the final event is really a cash event. And I think that's the thing people would be looking for. It's like, can we participate? Let's say something that has not even a high entry fee, like $8 to $10. And even 80% or 90% goes into the prize pool. And it's just broken up by percentage, you know, through the top 16 places or something. Like, people would probably participate in that. I think that could be pretty cool for folks. But we'll see. I think we're still exploring what tournaments, digital tournaments, can look like for Arena, especially now that we have the tool of MTG Melee. You know, I think that makes things easy for a lot of organizers as well. So some stuff to definitely explore as things move forward. Other related Magic news, though. This is, when they say bittersweet news, both good and bad here. But we did lose two people from the Rivals League. When we're talking about Jess Estefan and Emma Handy.
Yeah.
But both for good reasons. We'll start with Emma. But I think this is an easier one to talk about. But Emma is taking a job with Wizards of the Coast to work in their R&D department. So that in and of itself is a big deal, because obviously that's a thing a lot of people would love to do. I imagine it's a thing Emma's probably had their eyes on for a while. And good for her. You know, like, props. I'm not mad about that at all. Here's the thing, though. Let me ask you your opinion here. Is it better? I'm trying to figure out the best way to phrase this. Like, is it better to have Emma in Rivals or better to have Emma working on Magic?
Ooh, that is a good question. I mean, I would lean toward better to have Emma inside Wizards working, because I mean, how long have we been talking about Wizards culture needing to change and wanting to see them have a more diverse hiring pool? So we talked, I think, last week about how, you know, it's been a couple of months. We want to check back and see how you're doing on those hiring practices, and this is a great step.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, and really when we talk about it, because again, we said it was probably going to take a couple months to get things going, but we've seen them make a couple of good hires over the last 2 months, you know, getting some diverse faces in there. We see that they have changed their policy on their stories and their backgrounds on their characters. So like, maybe I'm not willing to give it up yet, but maybe, you know, maybe they are doing the things they said they were going to do.
There's definitely some positive steps. Again, it's, you know, not all going to happen overnight, and we didn't expect it to all happen overnight. But this is a couple of times where they have had the opportunity to make a diverse hire and have done so. And also they've gotten rid of some problematic people too. So it's.
Yeah. And like I said, we weren't saying that they needed to do it quickly and get it done overnight, but there were a lot of people who totally expected it. Let me tell you.
Oh yeah.
But I do think it's interesting, right? When we look at people like Emma or Autumn, you know, and what they represent being in top level, I wouldn't even say Magic play, in top level gaming in general, I think that has a real impact. You know, I'm very curious to see the number of people who have, and we're not going to know this number, but I'd be really curious to see how many people have come forward as their self, or even picked up the game or felt more comfortable or whatever, because you've had those faces there representing them. You know, there's got to be a non-zero impact there. Oh, that definitely. I think that we haven't discussed enough. And then the other part is just Emma being a personality.
Yeah.
You know, we talk a lot about how gaming has these, I don't know, the community's had these weird unwritten rules, right? Where you can't show too much emotion and give stuff away. And, you know, you've got to act like you've been there and don't show any emotion when you win or whatever, all this stuff, right? Oh, like looking back at the last week's event or the week before last, right, in the big Zendikar championship or whatever, Brad Barkley won and the dude, like, you're like, hey, you just won the Zendikar Rising Championship, blah, blah, you're getting this much money and you qualified for this thing. Dude literally could have just been drinking a Slurpee and not gave a damn.
And to some
like, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's people's personality. Some people, that's like we just talked about Nikola Jokic, you know, like sleeping during his draft announcement. There's all different kinds of personalities. That's
his personality. That's what I'm saying. Like, I agree with you. That's just who he is. The dude's popping back pistachios or whatever and just doing his thing. But that's not somebody you can really market, right? And to me, even when I remember even growing up with Magic and realizing as I was playing competitively and had a chance to meet some of these people, they're great humans in a lot of cases. They are very smart people, but they're not necessarily people that you can market, because a lot of them,
like, that's like Orange Cassidy's whole gimmick.
But even then, he understands how to market that. You know what I mean? Like, he plays up the idea of like, okay, I'm going to be this like sloth, like chill dude or whatever. And then uses that. So when he does have moments of outburst or whatever, it has an impact. You know what I mean? That's part of the character, but we're missing a lot of that at our top levels, I think, in gaming. Cause you either have the people that are so big and they're loud mouths and they're cussing all the time on their streams and they're insulting their opponents or whatever, or you have the other people that just play the game and they're just good at the game, right? You need that person that's a balance in the middle, where we saw Emma, you know, being excited when she won or lost, right? Like having sitting there with headphones on, like air drumming while waiting for the opponent to make their action, you know, like that sort of thing. Just saying like, hey, this is a normal person playing a game, having fun. So I think that also has an impact that we're going to miss. I don't think enough people really understand that or appreciate that yet. But let's talk about Jess's situation. Jess Estefan has a much harder situation to talk about.
Definitely.
For those who don't know, Jess married an American, or plans to marry an American, and got, I guess, at least a visa. I don't know total citizenship status yet on the situation. But in coming over here and having this visa situation, she cannot work until that clears. So technically, the Rivals League providing a paycheck and participating in the tournaments that would pay her is a thing she can't really do right now.
That seems crazy.
I'm with you. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I was really trying to work through this in my head. Like, if somebody came over here and they had the equivalent of a marriage, fiance, whatever visa, why would I care that they're working, right? Like, let's say she had a good tech job. And she's like, okay, cool. I'm going to come over here, get married. You know, I'm into this person, whatever. Why do we care that she would still be working her other job? Right, that's one of those cases where I feel like a rule is written or was written once upon a time that we probably need to go back and review and at least give it some clarity and some specifics as to what it's trying to protect or not. Because unfortunately, losing her from the Rivals League is really disappointing. I it's really cool, I think, to have another couple of women involved in that.
Yeah.
So losing both of them at the same time, it does suck.
She's been writing as well and doing some, because she did a thing that basically kind of explains the whole MPL league, which, as we talked about, is not an easy thing to wrap your head around.
Yeah, we mentioned that a couple episodes ago, right? That's the type of stuff that Jess has been doing. And Jess has been a great follow on Twitter. Like, I don't know. I mean, I just did say we're probably going to be getting a lot of food Twitter because she's going to just be working on recipes and stuff since she can't work. But it's tough. I mean, I would love to still see Jess writing. I don't know what type of agreement could be worked out to where she's not actually being paid, you know, to at least just stay in touch and keep doing stuff till that clears.
I would hate to see a writer not getting paid. So I just would.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, it sucks.
Would love to keep reading her writing. So I don't know what could be done there.
Yeah, it's a bad spot to be in. It really is.
A lot of people who try to figure around paying writers, not just writers, photographers, all kinds of creative people under the guise that you're going to get exposure for this.
Yeah. Yeah, this, man, it's just tough. It is really, really tough. And this is a situation where I always tell people, like, if it involves the U.S. government, it's probably not going to make a lot of sense and it's definitely going to be inefficient.
Yeah.
Because what people don't know is I know a couple of people that have various disabilities that keep them from working, well, for sure, full time. Some of them can't even hardly work part time. But for people that can't work here in the U.S., they even have weird artificial caps on how much money you can even earn. Like, they literally, like, I think the numbers, not, here's the weird part, and I found this out a couple of years ago, that I believe the cap is something like you can't get more than like $2,000 in a month or whatever. And that includes what they're paying you from either disability or whatever, which isn't a whole lot. So a lot of times you can't even, like, if you sell some cards or whatever for more than like $300 or $400 in a month, you could possibly lose your disability. And then, this is the part I found out that's crazy. You can't even hold more than $2,000. So if you have that much in your bank, you could be risking losing your disability payments.
That's insane. This is just, I mean, that discourages any kind of rational financial management, because everybody should hopefully be aspiring to have some kind of saving, regardless
exactly. of where they're. That's my point. Like, because it's our government, it makes no sense. Like, there's rules in place that need to... One, I don't even know when that rule is written. First off, there's inflation and other crap that goes on that we need to address.
Yeah.
Like, that number definitely has to come up. Or at the very least, it should at least matter local cost of living or something. Because that number, I can tell you, if you're in Seattle, LA, Chicago, whatever, like, that number means nothing.
For real.
When you're talking about trying to pay rent or whatever, the goal should be help these people with enough things, give them the resources so maybe they can start doing stuff on their own or whatever. But as it is, you're putting them in a situation where even if they found something they could do from home or in their whatever within their capabilities of their disability, they're not even encouraged to, because that would create some window of time, probably some like 6 to 12 months, where they're risking being booted out of their house, wherever, because they have literally no income while they're building up this thing, because they sold some stuff, maybe testing a new thing, maybe some art or whatever it is they want to sell. Well, sold the thing for $400. Sorry, you can't have the rest of your money now. Right? Like, it's such an ugly situation. Yeah. So that's why when I saw this stuff with Jess, I was like, man, doesn't even surprise me. Like, we have so many other problems as far as how we handle so many situations and the U.S. And it sucks to see that for her. It really does. And we're losing somebody from our magic community. I say losing, like, Jess obviously will still be in touch with people and still be on Twitter. And sounds like Jess is even probably still going to play some magic or whatever. And who knows? Maybe she starts playing competitively again here, and hopefully it goes quickly. So we'll say another like 6 to 9 months or something. And we're back to seeing her in the top level. I will say this, though. If something were to happen and a person was not able to participate in Rivals next year or whatever, I would be totally fine with Wizards giving a spot back to Jess.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know some people would get stupid and raise hell and be, whatever, you just want her there because she's a woman, whatever. Like, you know what? Even if so, she had earned her spot previously or whatever, ugly life situation came up where she couldn't do it. I have no problem with them trying to make good or do right by her or whatever and give her the spot back. Because it's not like she lost it.
No.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know if anybody from Wizards listens to our show, but, hey, if that comes up and the opportunity is there, give Jess a spot back. And there, I don't know, there's what, 42 people in Rivals or something? I don't know, some big old number. Just make an additional spot for her. Who cares? It's not like one more person's going to break the whole system.
And it seems like from time to time things come up, so it wouldn't surprise me if that happens again next season. Not necessarily these same things, but something else happens.
Yeah, for sure. Well, all right, let's wrap up this episode by getting a little personal over the dinner table. And this is going to be one of those topics that we've kind of had sitting around for a couple episodes where we kept like having other things bump in there. And I sort of wanted to be one of those topics we could give enough time to, because this feels, pretty personal for me, because I've dealt with it a few times. I'm sure you have too. But we want to talk about, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to just phrase this as a general discussion, but there are a lot of times where a person of color, and I will admit, has come up already a couple times for me in the gaming community over the years, not even recently, where a person of color, or any somebody, just a person from a marginalized group, is put in a position where they have to be grateful for a thing that's happened to them or has been given to them, and can't really celebrate it as though they've earned it. And it's a weird thing when you, like, it's happened so normally and so regularly that I didn't even realize that it was a thing. Like, I kind of just got so used to that just being the language used around it or the examples I saw that it didn't even process to me. But then I started realizing as I got older and you see other people talking that way and you're like, well, what's up? Like, you've obviously earned this thing. Like, you don't have to be overly meek, humble, whatever. Like, you've obviously put in 20 years to get this thing. That should be okay for you to celebrate it. And what's tough is when you see the other side of that, where there are people doing the same things or getting the same things, and they're celebrating or talking about it to a point of almost arrogance that, like, well, yeah, this should have happened, or this was a long time coming, or whatever. And that's such a weird dynamic there that's going on. And I don't know how you feel, Brian. I don't know how often this has happened to you or if it's come up or whatever. But, I'm just kind of curious how this type of situation either affected you or come up for you.
I mean, this is kind of like my latest YouTube video. This is a lot of what this is talking about, where, you know, two female content creators got PlayStation 5s because they pointed out that, hey, your launch lineup is phenomenally just incredibly white, you know, straight and able. It just happens all the time. And now there's all these people in my chat talking about how they didn't deserve this. You know, they only got it because of their skin color. And oh, and they're being toxic. Like, wait, as if being toxic has ever prevented anyone in gaming from receiving anything. Default setting in terms of content creation, if we're honest about it. And you had to be respectful. You can't be too toxic towards the video game companies. Like, what? Huh?
Yeah, it's such a weird situation to be in, you know. And we mentioned this before, where I've had multiple people look at what I'm doing and reach out and say, well, the only reason you had this happen is because you're black. Or the only reason this happened is because the whole Black Lives Matter thing. Or, you know, whatever. People have thrown 4 or 5 different things at me recently.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, literally, do you not understand? Like, if you look at my YouTube video, you see all those links I have? It's because we have a podcast. I work on a web show. I do commentary. I'm putting out YouTube videos every day. I stream 4 times a week now because I do a short stream on YouTube, right? I'm working on another YouTube channel, right? Like, I'm putting in the work every week, literally. So if anything, I should be celebrating and pointing out that, like, hey, all my hard-ass work has resulted in something. But the minute you do,
if the community were more diverse, there would have been no need for a Color of Magic pie. So I guess on one level, it's like, okay, you're technically right that we wouldn't have a podcast if we weren't black, because we wouldn't have had the experiences in the magic community that we had. But, you know, that is why we're here. We're pointing out things that we both feel like need to be pointed out.
You're right. I mean, that is the one spot where that is totally true, right? Yeah. Had there been a more diverse community or other issues being addressed, we would not have had a podcast. It would have been something completely different, right? It just wouldn't have been necessary. So yeah, maybe on that point, if somebody brings that up, correct. But again, when you look at these other people that are getting to work with these different organizations, getting to work with these different big creators and channels and whatever, you know, getting more opportunities, being involved in more things, it's like, you don't point that out to them though, right? You're not saying like, oh, well, you just got that because, I don't know, you're from the Seattle area near Wizards, right? Or whatever random thing you could point out,
yeah,
to say that they got a thing, right? It's when it's happening to non-marginalized folks, it's like, hey, high five, good job. I see all the work you put in. When it happens to marginalized folks, there's always a question of why it happened. And I say always. Obviously, there's a lot of people that do recognize the work or whatever. So I don't want to be too hyperbolic here. But more often, that question gets asked as to, well, why did you get this thing? Other than saying, like, yeah, you're right. You have put in a lot of work. And just celebrating it with that person.
Or, you know, when we're having an interaction with the police, like, hey, if you'd been more respectful. Nobody ever says that to white people.
Yeah, true. And it's tough because it's so ingrained that I have a lot of situations where I start to post something or I want to bring something up on a stream, and I oftentimes either feel the need to either one, just don't do it, or two, preface it with something. Like, even the other day, I did a box opening, right? Because for those you don't know, I have a partnership deal with Ultra Pro, right? So they sent me this box of things. So I'm like, you know what? I want to go ahead and do a live stream and do a box opening with people so they can see, like, the cool stuff I've gotten or whatever from Ultra Pro today. But then, even when I did it, I was like, you know, I had to basically preface it like, hey, guys, look, I don't want this to look like I'm just throwing this in somebody's face. I'm doing this because it's fun. I'm showing everybody some stuff I'm going to have for some giveaways. Like, whatever. I don't want this to look like, well, look what I got, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I shouldn't even have had to say that, though. But I felt the need to, you know, like, which is so terrible. Which, fortunately, a bunch of people in my chat were just like, dude, whatever, this is cool, getting to see stuff, or getting to see stuff that, like, you know, people get from their sponsors or whatever. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know, and then we just moved on. But it's so ingrained that before I could even do something that simple, I felt like, man, I feel like I should clarify why this is happening, which feels so weird that it shouldn't be a thing. Because I'm literally just opening a box, right? I got a shipment. I'm opening it up and showing it to people. There's no insinuation of anything there. But because we're already used to knowing the questions that are going to come or being attacked for some dumb thing, you just kind of go like, let me just head this off at the pass. And even worse, like right now, I'm going to click over and check so I'm not, like, telling a lie here. But I'm coming up on 8,500 subscribers on my YouTube channel, which is an already insane number. We're talking about doing that full time for, like, 9 or 10 months, whatever it's been, right? But I decided last night, talking with my people in my Discord and whatever, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start making a push for 10K. My goal is going to see, can we get to 10K subscribers by February 1 and make it 10K in 1 year? I already know the minute I start doing it and I hit the goal and we start selling, if we hit the goal, probably won't because that's pretty lofty to do, but hey, we might. But if we do, I already know when we start celebrating it, there's going to be people that come out of the woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
Just to say like, oh, well, there's this other person who's been doing it a year and they only got this many. Obviously, the only reason you got it was for this, all these other reasons. You know, like, and there's nothing you can do about it. Like, you don't argue with them because you're going to get nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, you almost have to have somebody else come defend you and then jump into the conversation. Otherwise, you kind of just go like, yeah, well, sorry you don't want to celebrate with me. Sucks to be you. And then that's it. There's not much else to be done. And I don't even know how to make the situation better other than just tell people, like, before you start asking questions, just look into it, right? Before you start making assumptions. Like, if I see a woman get a thing, I don't immediately go like, well, you only got that because you got boobs. You know, like, a lot of times it's like, no, you deserve that as much as anybody else. So, yeah, good deal, you got it.
And again, look at that list of, you know, the top 50 or 100 streamers and see how many women you don't see.
Oh, dude, when people talk about like, well, these female streamers only get such and such because they're on there, you know, exposing their boobs or whatever. Like, if you look at the top, like the difference between them, the top male streamers, you're talking like hundreds of thousands of people. And I think Pokimane is like the biggest female streamer, and she's got, I want to say, like 30,000 or 40,000. Like, that is a huge difference. So for people to just say like, oh, well, women are dominating streaming and that's why I can't get any views and people aren't coming and sponsoring me because they're watching all these booby streamers, or that's not what's happening.
No.
I mean, I'll tell you this, if I hit 10K, Damn right I'm going to celebrate that.
And you should.
Yeah, getting 10K subscribers in 1 year without having just some weird random thing happen. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? There's going to be people who be like, well, this other person's better and they only got 3,000 in the same amount of time. Or this other person doesn't get near as much exposure and it's probably because they're not black or because they're not this or not that. Like, you know what? That's their problem. I mean, I'll look, like I said, I will show you. If you want to see all the notes and spreadsheets and emails and everything else I have to make this work, let's have that talk. But, I mean, and like I said, the reason I bring it up, though, not even just to sit here and be all whiny, is really to kind of just, like, let's change the tenor of these conversations. Like, you shouldn't, because it's a marginalized person, we shouldn't immediately just be questioning why they got the thing. Unless you're at least going to do the research. You know what I mean?
Absolutely not doing that. Come on now. Research?
Well, yeah, that's the hard part. Right? But hey, if I see somebody, if your thing is, if you're questioning, and you know, I'm not saying just outright believe everything for what it is. If you feel the need to question something, then cool. Look into what the person is actually doing. Look at what their credentials are. Look at why there's a real possibility that they could have been chosen to do the thing or earn the thing or get the thing, whatever it is. And you might surprise yourself. Because what's funny is, when I don't know the person, regardless of their black, white, man, woman, whatever, I just go look. I go check their Twitter feed. I go look at a couple of things they mention or their YouTube channel or whatever, and I'm like, oh, well, hell, it's kind of surprising. I've not even heard of this person. But obviously they have a following. Obviously they're doing good work. And then I'll just go back and respond like, hey, just found out about you. Probably going to go watch some of your content. Good job. And that's it. And you know how long that research takes? 2 minutes. But instead, a lot of these people want to go and just tear somebody down because they didn't get a thing or somebody they follow didn't get a thing.
Yeah, like I had somebody that you're just defending these women because they're black. If they were Hispanic or Asian, you wouldn't care. And I'm thinking like, this is obviously the first piece of my content you have ever consumed because that's literally the theme of just about everything I've done for especially the past 2 years at this point is pointing out when people are not represented. It's the whole reason why we're here, and it's across the board for marginalized communities, for women.
Yeah.
For people I just head implosion. I'm just like, look at, seriously, but before you comment on this video, watch any of the other 100 videos on the channel.
Yeah. Like, and here's maybe another way to shape this conversation. Imagine if every time a marginalized person didn't get a thing that they wanted to question something. How would that make some of these people feel?
Triggered. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, let's say somebody earned a thing and they're on there celebrating, you know, and you go, well, yeah, but did you really deserve it over this woman? Did you really deserve it over this Asian person? Or, hey, not even that. We just go, hey, well, it's kind of cool you got that, but this other person did all these things. Right? Like, that would cause that same reaction. So, like, our assumption shouldn't be just to immediately tear somebody down. It should be like, okay, well, let me look into this person's credentials then, if I feel that way. And just check your feelings at the door for a second. Because, let's be real. Just like I pointed out earlier, there's a lot of people doing some good things that you just don't know about. I mean, I find people literally weekly.
Oh, yeah.
Even in spaces I'm already in that I just hadn't heard of the person. Or I didn't know they had a thing or a random other podcast or whatever. there is a lot of stuff going on in the world. There are a lot of people producing good content. There are a lot of people just busting their ass at every job and doing things. So just to think that you know everything about everybody in every group and that person magically doesn't deserve it because of something that you happen to be able to tell is different. Come on. Like, slow your roll for a second. But I don't know. Like, it's just a thing that I know each of us have dealt with before. I've seen it come up recently in other things, especially right now, while, and we've talked about it before, like COVID, this whole pandemic's been hard on a lot of people. And we have managed to find other outlets and I would even say thrive on some level during the pandemic. And it's hard to celebrate that when you know people are already set up to attack you and other people also aren't doing well, right? So now you have the two-front issue of people wanting to come after you and then trying not to be in a braggadocious situation when you know other people are struggling.
Yeah.
So you almost don't want to celebrate anything at all. That's why I'm super.
You know, your community wants to celebrate with you. Yeah, but your family, your friends want to celebrate with you.
Yeah. And I've had friends ask me, like, dude, you should be telling more people about this. Or, hey, yeah, you should really be talking about that. Whatever. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, but like I said, 10K. That's a big enough milestone that I'm just like, F it. If you just want to be mad, you're going to be mad. But yeah, just something to think about. I just feel like this is one of those topics that it's out there. It's common enough. It comes up all the time. I swear I feel like I see it at least once every couple weeks on somebody's content or somebody making a video about a thing or whatever. If you have any reason to question, and we should question some things. But if you do, instead of just lashing out at the person or making an accusation that's largely going to be baseless, take 2 to 5 minutes to just go look up stuff on the person, read some things, watch a video, and just understand what it is they do and who that person is before making that statement. Because one, you'll save them just the pressure of even dealing with that crap. Two, you'll make yourself not look like so much of an ass. And three, you might just learn something and maybe even be a fan of the person's product.
You're going to break the internet with this kind of logical reasoning.
Well, that's the whole purpose of our show. All right, Brian, why don't you tell everybody how they can find you when you're not doing a podcast?
All right. I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and our family YouTube channel is Alan's Ever After.
Yeah, which right now, y'all are doing, what, the 14, 15 days of Vlogmas or whatever it is?
I believe Vlogmas is 25 days. God help us.
Oh, goodness. You're doing a much bigger job than I thought you were doing. If y'all want to find me, I am at Power Dragon, PowerDragn. You can find me on YouTube every day. You can find me on Twitch, Twitter, really just everywhere at that handle. And as always, I just want to say, wherever you are listening, whenever you are listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And though vaccines are rolling out at least for a couple more months, let's keep wearing our masks, washing our hands, stay away from other humans so we can eventually get back to gaming and gathering the way we want to. If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us at our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, other patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at Color of MTG. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.